Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Joy!
I'm not going to worry about your level of concern.
Joy and double joy!
We talking about Twitter.
Triple joy!
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple joy.
Oh! That's
we mock ourselves.
Listen, I trust Mike T wholeheartedly, man.
I hope all Steelers fans just heard that from beginning to end and understand what a treasure, how lucky you are. You're so lucky. You have no idea how lucky you are. So lucky.
So lucky. So, so lucky. You know, Steelers fans, the pursuit of a positive experience is in itself a negative experience. You know, like you think of these heart attack wins. Okay. Everything you go through for this positive experience in itself is a negative experience. It's the acceptance of a negative experience that in it itself is a positive experience.
Okay, I can agree with that. I just worry that we're encouraging these people to be even more negative somehow.
People are so fixated on pursuing positive experiences that they make themselves miserable. No playoff wins in seven seasons. Mediocre Mike. Constantly reinforcing and reminding themselves of what they don't have. It's the acceptance that life is pain, that this is difficult. Don't resist it. It will be okay. This is what Jin's talking about. It's the conversation about the Steelers conversation. We've got an awesome show, including what, you know, I don't want to talk about Ken and Ben. It seems like everyone's been over that. But there's the one thing that everyone is overlooking. Everyone wants to talk about... you know, the headline, but the one thing that everyone's overlooking, we'll bring that up. We also got Alphonso Graham zooming in, the tryout who left rookie tryout with the contract.
The one guy that did.
From Morgan State. They end up signing a second dude after the fact.
Good.
That weekend, Morgan State running back. Alphonso Graham, Baltimore native. I don't know. So could this be, you know, a type like Americans or Homeland type experience where they've saboteured this, you know, they finally
got
there.
The Manchurian running back.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't think so, but we'll find out. And also the debut of a new What Jin's Talking About game show. How hot is the hot seat? We're talking hot seats before anyone else. Everyone else wants to talk OTAs.
And football. Not here.
Hot seats. I'm Kyle Kreis, by the way. Mm-hmm. Joining me is Greg Benevent.
Hello.
Let's get to the takes. Because it's officially year two.
Oh yeah.
For Kenny.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
Groomed
you
Kenny!
Oh,
I missed it. I wanted to say groomed
you
Kenny.
You got time. I mean, I think we're gonna use it out a few times. I think you'll get time to catch up to that.
They groomed Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where's the I'm missing the tweet button. Here it is. At 15 minutes online, Ray Eckenrode. You may have noticed there's quite a large gap between the way the many Steelers fans and fan sites view the team's offense and how the national media views it. The former is based on assumptions about things with no basis yet in reality. How the new offensive lineman will gel, how Kenny will develop, how the draft class will play. Whereas the latter is based on past performance. I hope the optimism of the former is justified, but when it comes to football maxims, past performance equals future behavior is almost unbeaten. I've never heard that one, actually.
I haven't either, but man, what a shame that Twitter has become people just writing full blogs on it.
Oh, right? This is the Faulkner of Twitter,
right,
here.
Exactly.
Jeez.
I don't know. that could have been summed up in 150 characters, sir.
The point might be that Pittsburgh is so excited about this team, they're ready to put them in the Super Bowl. Whereas maybe it's not justified yet.
Well, I don't know if it's justified yet, but I mean, that is quite a 5-minute swing we've had from life is pain to hey, you people are wrong because you're too excited. But by that same token, it's okay. His point is valid about past performance equals future behavior. Okay, Isaac Sumalo's past performance was pretty good. So is Nate Herbig. So is Patrick Peterson's. This team, yeah, a lot of things have to gel and to come together. Just about every single team is that way. And the ones that aren't hoping that something will come together are the teams that are hoping something that has succeeded isn't going to fall apart.
Can we set some standards? Should we set some goalposts at the Pony Express, Andrew Filippone? Fantastic Steelers insiders Ray Fittipaldo says on 93.7 The Fan that the Steelers would accept the following stat line from Kenny Pickett in 2023. 2,900 yards, 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Is that the May standard?
I mean, I don't know why we're putting statistical standards in May in there, but I look at that stat line and I think to myself, boy, I bet if that's what happens, Kenny didn't lose them a game. He might not have had the game-winning drive to go down and win too many of them, but, I mean, there wasn't that. There's no Miami Dolphins game in that stat line.
Unless it was a really bad game.
Exactly. And then the rest of the season was just awesome. Like, it was, you know, he threw for, a whole bunch of yards each game, maybe only one touchdown, but Najee ran wild. But there was one game of just 5 picks, nothing going right.
I mean, that's basically 1.1 touchdowns a game. Like, you know,
yes.
So mm-hmm. that seems even lethargic by the more modest assumptions.
Yes, and it hits me that even looking at this, I don't know about. I look at that stat line. The second thing that occurs to me is, man, how many games did Kenny play? I don't know if you played all 17 with that, you know, because I mean, well, Mitch is going to get in. I mean, just everyone's starter's going to miss a game. I mean, in a 17 game season, as asinine as that is, your starter's not going to play every game. So it, but yeah, I mean, I can look at that stat line. That's, if that's a stat line, they're probably going to the playoffs
with that stat line. Well,
probably
you might have some doubters. At Armstrong Jago mm-hmm. Armstrong. Mm-hmm. No, that means we had a bad season. That stat line is a 9-8 record at best. Pickett needs to be in the mid to high 20s in touchdowns or above 3,500 yards for the Steelers to be a playoff team. Is there a Mendoza line for stats relative to playoffs?
I mean, there probably is at this point, or something you can go back enough years in recent years to look at and come up with something close. But I have no desire to do anywhere near the amount of research it would take to find that, much less believe in it. I mean, it, you know, that this is one of those real, especially for a team that seems to be leaning so much into the idea of, as we've talked about here, Kenny proofing the team, Canada proofing the team, of building up this running game so that, hey, if Kenny isn't ready to be Joe Burrow or even Joe Burrow of year two of Joe Burrow, that maybe this team can still be very competitive regardless.
I don't think I'm putting any kind of expectation
right.
stat wise, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see it both ways. You know, I could see, a situation where, yeah, we're running down the throats and then the conversation's going to be like, man, Pickett can't, you know, if you're only limiting him to less than 20 throws a game, you're not going to develop him. I could see that conversation happening.
Yes.
Or I could see the opposite where, you know, we're down in the fourth and we got to rely on, you know, the pass heavy come from behind. And I could see where the stats might skew in Kenny's favor, but not necessarily in those game situations.
Oh, yeah. Or it's easy to see where another view, and I think this kind of sort of maybe the middle ground between the two of what you're talking about, is a season of like the games against the Ravens, Raiders, and Browns, where it's, you know, maybe they don't blow the guys out. Maybe they stay close. Maybe they're down a bit at the end. Maybe it's tied. And then it comes down to a drive or two in the fourth to wrap it up.
It's my quarterback.
It's my quarterback. Now he is, right? Now we're with him. So, all right, we'll talk a little bit about Kenny on Ben's podcast.
This is the first time I'd ever watched Ben's podcast, so I'm glad we're bringing it up.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he doesn't really, I mean, clean up the place much.
No. It's very much like Ben's involvement with this is Ben is coming downstairs to do it.
But Ben, he's a hard hitter reporter better than some of these insiders. He did get the question on my mind. He got Kenny to admit that wasn't a great chug at the Luke Combs concert, mm-hmm. and he wasn't really prepared for how fast that was going to happen. And, you know, maybe he still has some things to learn from Mitch.
Absolutely. I enjoyed that conversation on multiple levels, not least of which is none of those country music names meant anything to me. So I just enjoyed the way they were coming out and these guys were great and they seemed very into it. I enjoyed that from a purely objective level.
You know, he's not the star of the Jersey Shore that I thought. I thought, oh man, this guy's probably the biggest name out of Jersey since the situation. He has not met any of the Jersey Shore cast yet. I know he's a little bit younger than those guys, but I've met five of them. I've got,
wow.
So I've got that on Kenny. Kenny, you need me to get you in the connect there. You know, I can, you know, get you in touch with Vinny.
Is that
know.
All of them? How
no,
many?
No, there's
are there?
Well, there's, you know, there's six original cast members.
Okay.
Angelina.
I did not know that.
She's
okay.
back on now. So wow. You know, between six and seven, who you want to call an OG? I stick to, you know, us. Well, whatever.
No, but I mean, but clearly you're a man that knows. I had no idea. That's quite a number, Kyle.
This is the big takeaway mm-hmm. that people aren't talking about or just maybe glossing over. You know, he was recruited to Pitt by mm-hmm. Matt Canada, right? Mm-hmm. And so then Matt Canada left for LSU, and mm-hmm. Ben asked him, so did you consider not coming to Pitt when you heard Canada left? And he said, yeah, he thought maybe UNC. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, there is a relationship that everyone wants Canada gone. And, you know, that'd be like saying like, hey, you want this guy's bud, you know, this guy, there's a reason why there's a Canada and Kenny connection, and that these relationships that people build over the years and time has stronger bonds than just, stats on a sheet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's that. Well, I mean, I know they posted it a lot last year. You don't see it as much anymore. But that fabulously dorky picture of Kenny senior year of high school with Canada in either his basement or his family's den, where he's wearing the pitch shirt and Kenny looks like a real nerd. I mean, it's pretty great if you've never seen this picture. But they're shaking hands and they're both very happy to be there. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it's one thing I've appreciated both in football and in life as I get older is about these, like you said, these relationships really do mean something.
I laugh at that.
Not the relationship part, but the part about good. Canada's basement. I was thinking, is that the next Netflix doc? By the way, his favorite food is still a buffalo quesadilla. It's only been a year, but you can't take.
And that chef guy tried; like he really gave it a good at a college chance there with the quesadillas.
At S Curtain 322 Steel Curtain, what will it take for Steeler fans to finally see that Ben's ego was a massive problem for years? The 05 team holds players only meetings to address his ego from the 04 season. Bruce Arenas has called it out. He's been called a terrible leader by many former players. Nah, we blame others. You know, the narrative, well, the Ben haters were using this as a chance to go to hate Ben more.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll address the, you know, Bruce Arians has called it out. I've been reading the BA book, and he talks about how the players only meeting was because Ben wasn't doing things. He wasn't like signing autographs. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, meeting with fans and stuff. So the players only meeting, you know, BA says Joey Porter told Ben, like, hey, you got to be the man if you want to be the man here, mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. A couple things. One, your star quarterback has to have something of an ego. I mean, that's if he doesn't, things have gone awry. I don't know if whatever issues you may have had with Ben, you may have just noticed them now because of a podcast more than a year after he's retired. The one thing we do know now looking back on Ben's career is that at some point there was some kind of massive shift in his behavior. Where he went to, you know, I don't know if it's, I mean, it's certainly a born again religious aspect. I don't know. I certainly don't want to speak to any of that. But somewhere along the way, there was a shift.
Yeah, B.A. Addresses that too. Yeah, he
says. Okay, that's sort of where I was hoping to set you up for. I imagine B.A. mentions that at some point.
I mean, you know, we could get into the B.A. book.
We don't have to.
The quarterback whisperer. He does take. He's not afraid to pat himself on the back. I guess any of these competitors are, but...
And that might be something that the two of them maybe had in common. Maybe that's sort of they found that in each other, too.
Did you know this? I learned this from the BA book, that Ben's mother passed away when he was young?
I did not know that. I'd read the thing about the family trip to Switzerland after winning Super Bowl XL. I didn't know that about his mother.
Yeah, well, when he was only 8, and his stepmother has raised him since then. Okay. That's very...
I did not know that.
Yeah, it made me really kind of put a little bit different perspective on some of that
Certainly.
Stuff. I don't want to talk about Ben's podcast because Mason made the pod appearance. Now it's like instead of tracking down all the insider hot takes, now I'm just listening to Steeler podcasts all day. But Mason
thought you'd miss Twitter.
Yeah, well, Twitter's so garbage now.
So bad.
Okay, so Mason went on some podcast. I don't even know.
I don't either. I saw you saw something. I had no idea what it was.
And this is why I want Mason on this podcast. He keeps a list of Tomlinisms on his phone.
Wow.
Which makes me think that, you know, we've heard the stuff on camera, but I bet there's a lot of stuff that isn't heard in the public.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. A more members-only level of Tomlinisms. But why would you keep them on your phone?
He loves he just loves them so much.
Okay, you can, quote them later to your partner? I mean, it's just so... Like, people do that in my acting class with a teacher, but, not... It just seems so strange to me.
If you want to be a coach, maybe you keep a list of these things. His favorite is the Newport News thing. You know where Tomlin is like,
exactly.
we could be here working on the docks in Newport News.
That's right. We could be. Yeah, that was and that was Christmas Eve was the last time I remember hearing that in the polar vortex. But
so I'm looking for the Glengarry Tomlinisms.
Oh,
that Mason
those secret
has.
Ones that may even be blue. I mean,
Mason, come on. What you're talking about?
If please.
You,
we'd love to talk to you.
Okay, one more thing on quarterbacks. At Triggered wise, Tyler wise, Kenny Pickett, new helmet alert. Looks like Pickett made the transition to the Vickis helmet. That one was made specifically to better protect quarterbacks' heads when they hit the ground compared to the other helmets.
That's exactly that were, what I thought.
What were they meant to do? I don't know.
They were just made out of old styrofoam. I'm glad you said Vickis. I don't know how it's pronounced, but I saw that acronym and I thought that can't be pronounced vicious. That can't be how they want you to say that, is it?
The vicious helmet.
The vicious helmet.
That's how I would sell it.
I get the vicious helmet. What does it do? It protects your head. Like, that doesn't... That just seems so strange. But hey, if it works, you know, it seems... I mean, I was going to say a no-brainer, but in that context, this is almost a pun.
Have you seen it? It's a little bit... It looks bigger. It looks... maybe... Unless Kenny's head has gotten bigger. I hope that... I know he's gotten thicker, but I hope he's not on that Balco track or anything.
I mean, you say... It's weird, because I've seen the pictures from the OTAs, and like, okay, there's... And it's like, from the distance, I'm like, I can't tell any difference. But then you see the pictures they post of, like, the vicious helmet in and of itself, and it looks totally different. Like, that looks dramatic when you see it in the promo shots versus when you see it on Kenny's head at OTAs.
It looks a little bit like NBA Jam when you could put the code, and I think the head
got
a little bigger.
Oh, yeah, the head's got even bigger. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that, yeah, I mean, I just saw the wrong tweet at an angle, maybe. I don't know. All right, it's OTA time. OTA me ASAP. Mm-hmm. Just a couple odds and ends. At Farabaugh FB, Nick Farabaugh, Dan Moore said he completely changed his diet this offseason and gained a ton of muscle. He was 310 last year, now up to near 317 in pure muscle gain.
Wow.
Told me he wants to shore up his play strength / anchor. I just want to go out there and maul dudes in the run game. I'm rooting for Dan Moore. Even still, wouldn't it be something if he held off this first-round rookie for a minute?
I mean, if nothing else, whatever issues people may have with Dan Moore, you can't say anything about the man's effort. How hard he works, what a tough dude he is. I mean, this is, again, this is the kind of coworker you want to have and the kind you want to be.
And they seem to know what the deal... They know, at least, you know, Dotson knows what the writing on the wall is, and... you know, it's just, and it seems like Dan Moore is, he's willing, he's going to at least, you know, fight in the gladiator arena. He's going to, you know, take a swipe at the lion or whatever.
And that's also how Dan Moore is going to, if he does, when and if he does lose this, he'll be the backup, the swing guy at multiple positions.
And then there's some wishful, you know, you see these guys and they, you know, they look nice, but there's some wishful thinking, I think. At Michael Beck 56, Michael Beck, I would like to see Najee Harris give Barry Foster a run for the Steelers' rushing yards and a season record, 1,690. With the improvements to the offensive line, a commitment to the run game, this might be his best shot. His best shot at 1,700 rushing yards for a season. I guess with 17 games, I mean, there could be things less likely.
Yeah, and I just like to say, having been a very young person at that age, and maybe there's differences in the actual stats if you were to look at them, but like the sheer amount of times that Steelers team ran the ball would seem like absolutely ridiculous today. Like, if he does set this number, like, this, Kenny may have that 19-9 ratio, and the Steelers could be like 14-3. Like, I mean, it would be, they were just so dominant in the running game, and Najee was getting 30 carries a game, and the other team is possessing the ball for like 12 minutes. I mean, it would be some kind of just, I'm trying not to say bananas, just since that was Berman's nickname for Barry Foster, but yeah.
Yeah, it'd be less of a tribute to Barry Foster and more of a tribute to like a James Brown.
Right. Franco Harris, yeah, like in terms of how much they're running the ball.
Well, that's about all I want to see. You know, I'm just watching during OTAs. I'm not making any judgments
at this point. And really, you know who else isn't making a whole lot of judgments? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're just trying to build a foundation here.
Okay, well, you know, there's still some... con season! All year long, it's con season. Mm-hmm. At Flip Steeler, FS Flip Fisher. Steelers have $21 million in effective cap space in 2024. If it comes down to keeping Alex Highsmith and cutting Cam Hayward. Are you on board with that? Well, if you have 21, can't you keep them both at that point?
I mean, I was thinking this guy's engaged in the opposite of what you started the episode with. Here's someone pursuing something negative. They're worried about what's going to happen after signing next year's draft class. What if we get hit by a meteor? What's that going to do to the salary cap?
Well, yeah, that would probably bring it down.
And maybe.
But, or, you know, because the YouTube subscriptions wouldn't be there. right. We're not worried about cutting Cam anytime soon, right? Or I mean,
no, we're not. I mean, they just signed another guy to be the third pass rusher at the other day. So that's no. No one's. I don't think. And there is, you know, due to the role of Franco in the Seahawks jersey, I think there's a very, very strong reticence among all involved to see a team grade, a very possible Hall of Famer, to wear to be an Arizona Cardinal again at the end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a moment this season where he has the Steelers sack record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. For that brief period of time before Watt gets it someday. But yeah, absolutely.
And I think they're both neck and neck. They could do it. Shoot, we should be taking a break, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, let's take that break. I wanted to talk about Tomlin on the Rich Eisen show. I don't know. Did you get a chance to see that?
I did not, but I heard a little bit about it. But that's one I meant to watch. It's my podcast watching was the Ben thing because that was so long. I didn't make it to Rich this week, but I'd like to. That I'd like to see. That's two people I always liked.
Tomlin does 40 minutes of cardio in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. So that's his regimen, and he's looking trimmer. I think.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't need to have 6-pack abs out there to coach a team.
Okay, in the second half, we're going to get to know undrafted rookie tryout signee Alphonso Graham, plus too hot in the hot seat. I don't know, how hot is the... Oh, I forgot the name of my own game. That's coming up in the second half.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Last week, 33 hopefuls came to Pittsburgh. One walked out with the deal, with the bag. Joining me now on Zoom, the newest Pittsburgh Steeler, Alphonso Graham. Welcome to What Jin's Talking About.
Hey, hello. Thank you for the invite, man. It's a blessing to be here.
Do you have a number yet? We'll start with that.
No, not yet. Rookie minicamp, I wore 29, but I don't have a number yet.
If you had a choice, what would be your first choice?
Anything.
Anything?
Anything. Anything. Honestly, I'm going to be real, anything.
Well, let's be real, man. Coming from Baltimore, no way you were a Steelers fan. Is that right?
No, that's right. That's right. I definitely was a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Obviously you watched some Ravens Steelers games, and who were your guys on, I guess both, who were your Ravens guys coming up?
Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Jamal Charles was good, Ray Rice, Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones. Matter of fact, Jacoby Jones was just my coach actually at Morgan State.
What were the feelings then when you got the invite to come to Pittsburgh? Was it like... Yeah, obviously excited for the chance, but there had to be something in the back of the head, like, man, not the Steelers.
Nah, not really, because it's like my dream come true, so it ain't really matter, you know, the grudge that I used to have or anything, or how I used to look at it, you know. So, it was just an amazing feeling and blessing.
Let's talk about coming into tryout camp. You know, how are you looking at the other guys? Is it competitive? Like, man, only one of us or maybe only two of us are going to walk out of here with the deal? Or is it more just like we're in this together to show off why we're here?
Yeah, you know, I came on my own plans, but the biggest thing with me was just getting out here to compete, you know, and just learn from other players and soak up knowledge from them in them 3 days that I'm around them. So, you know, I just came in here with what my own plan was, which was to get signed and just go out there and be me.
You know, is it the mentality like, I got to show them what I got, you know, at every moment? Or is it more just like, hey, I came here with, you know, kind of like just being myself. Like, I know what I can do. Is it kind of like that mentality?
Yeah, it's just one of them ones, just knowing what I can do. And it's, you know, just they gave me a call. So it's like they must have seen something that they like. So why not come here and just be me and show them what I can do and what I can bring to the table?
Who's made an impression? I know it's still early in the process, but has anyone made an impression on you yet? Like, you know, either maybe a Coach Tomlin, Coach Faulkner?
No, yeah. No, all my coaches good. You know, Coach Tomlin is definitely making a big impression on me. You know, just how transparent he is and understanding and helping me and got my back on and off the field, you know, one thing. And Coach Farnham, my running back coach, is teaching me the game, you know, just – and then get me adapted to being a pro and how to go about being a pro.
Like Coach Tomlin, is he larger than life, or is he kind of just like any other guy, you know, in the locker room?
Coach Tomlin, that guy, man. I don't even know how to explain it. He's just that guy. He just, you know, good, genuine person, you know, good spirit, good soul, you know. Make you want to come to work every day for him. So it's just great.
It looked like they had some guys come in to talk. I don't know, was Clinton Portis there? Robert Golden? Did you get a chance to hear from any of them?
Yes. They came, you know, dropped some great knowledge, you know, for guys that in that situation, you know, just some good knowledge for the rookies to hear and, you know, the soak up and to use some of that knowledge to do the right things.
You know, it's not even football related stuff. Like you're talking like social media, just talking about things off the field.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about some on field things. We know what you can do with the ball in your hands. What about like special teams? Like beyond just returning, you know, be any role in the special teams?
Yes, you know, I used to play gunner. You know, I can play gunner. I can run down on kickoff. I'm not afraid to tackle. You know, I can bring many different things. Like I said, anywhere on special teams, I feel like I can fit and contribute to the team and make a highlight play.
You know, if you had your choice, you want to be returning them or, you know, just being out there on the field, you know, as a gunner or something?
Well, you know me, anything, once. It don't really matter to me. Any way that can help the team improve and win and go get a Super Bowl, I'm down the door. Like, it don't even matter. I don't really got no first choice, you know, as a returner. I mean, I would love to be a returner and be able to score touchdowns, but I wouldn't mind actually blocking for the return either. So, you know, just anything.
You said number 29, you know, like the number 29 back in the day, running back number 29, Barry Foster. We're talking the 90s, but I don't know if you know anything about, you know, his game.
Nah, I actually see it in the running back room that I never got to ask my coach about it yet that I'm going to ask. But I see a picture of him in the running back room, so he must be legendary and great.
I guess probably a more modern comparison might be like Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, that guy had to be on your radar.
Yeah, for sure. Le'Veon Bell, great guy. Yes, sir.
How about some non-serious stuff? What about the cafeteria? They feed you well? What kind of food they got in the cafeteria?
We eat good in the cafeteria. The chef's amazing. The smoothie lady, amazing. And just, it's great vibes in there, and it's some great food in there, you know? Come hot and ready.
Is it whatever you want, or is it like, all right, it's going to be salmon and chicken and broccoli?
Yeah, they have different menus every day. So the other day we had salmon, chicken, you know, just every day they got something different that they cook in there for us.
Last question, what are the goals coming up in the next month? What do you hope that Steelers fan see from you?
You know, the goals in the next month is just be a great teammate, you know, produce for the team, you know, just be myself, man, and just go out there and play football like I've been doing since I was 5 years old. You know, of course, one of my goals is to make the 53 active roster. Doesn't matter what position I'm in, you know, just to contribute to a Super Bowl. You know, that's one of my biggest goals.
We'll be rooting for you. Excited that you're on the squad. So thanks a lot for stopping in, and maybe we'll catch up with you as the season goes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and yinzers, get ready to turn up the heat and rock the Steel City. It's time for How Hot is the Hot Sheet? The grooviest game show where Pittsburgh Steelers knowledge meets the sizzling pressure of the hot sheet. And now, let's meet our Orpheus host, the maestro of the mic, the master of his own domain, Kyle Kreiss!
Thank you. Thank you, all my cool cats and kittens. Welcome to How Hot is the Hot Seat? The game show that's hotter than a Coke oven and cooler than an icy light mango. We're about to find out who's got the mojo and res to handle the sizzle and who will be left out in the cold. Let's meet our fiery contestants ready to burn up the competition. First up, we have the Smedium Steelers superfan from section... What section?
107.
Mr. Steelers ticket. Mr. Season tickets.
Close enough.
Greg Benavidez.
Oh, hello. Yes, thank you. I'm very glad to be here on whatever this is.
How hot is the hot seat?
How hot is the hot seat, yes.
Next, the former front office insider who loaded up his truck and moved to Beverly, August DeRose Jones.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. You know the name of the game, or do you know the name of the game?
I do now. You said it a couple times. I caught up.
How hot is the hot seat? You contestants will go head-to-head trying to guess the temperature of the hot seat on which Pittsburgh Steelers players and coaches are currently sitting.
Ah, okay.
It's not just about knowing who's in the frying pan. Mm-hmm. It's about who's feeling the heat.
I like it.
You have to rate the intensity of the hot seat from lukewarm to blazing inferno.
Okay.
Each correct answer will earn you points, but an incorrect answer will let your opponent give your opponent the chance to steal.
Okay, thus making your own seat hotter? Is that...
Yes! Okay. Putting your seat on the hot seat.
There you go, okay. Or making it colder, depending on how you see the metaphor.
It's 68 degrees in this studio.
I thought about where to go. You're wearing... Yeah, August is smart. You guys are wearing long sleeves. I'm the only one.
Well, when I leave for work in the morning, it's 7:30 in the morning. It's like... It's still 40... Yeah. Well, it's like 52, so it's...
No. Hey, I do the same thing.
We might as well be in Pittsburgh with this weather.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. In 70s, too, like gloom.
Pittsburgh gray out.
Yeah. Smoking Pittsburgh in the 70s. LA 2023, about the same. Okay. Are you ready to feel the heat?
Got my sunscreen on. I'm ready to go.
As much as I could be, I think.
Greg, first up. How hot is the hot seat on Zach Gentry?
I'm going to go with, I mean, I guess I don't think I don't know if you're... I'm going to go with 80 degrees with 212 being you get kicked out. At, I don't think they're going to cut him before the season. I think they want to keep him throughout to see what they have with the guy. I'm going to go... I think they're proud of what they've done with him. They've re-signed him. They were surprised to get Washington, but they're going to hang on to him. I'll go he lasts the season. So is that an 80 degree?
80 degree, you know, you kind of feel it when you're sitting there. It's like, that's kind of, I feel it. It doesn't bother me, but man, I kind of feel it.
Yeah, seeing just how tall Darnell Washington is, I think is worth 80 degrees. So, yeah.
Judges, is Zach Gentry's hot seat 80 degrees?
Wrong. Okay.
August, is it higher or lower than 80 degrees?
I would say higher.
Higher? You don't think he's? You think he gets cut?
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets cut before the season.
You know, they didn't put him, or I'm sorry, they did include him in the team photo of tight ends. Did you see that? But they didn't include young Hayward in the
I did notice that. Now they also included that other guy who had to tweet out, "Look, I'm not a small guy. These men are just enormous."
Yeah, who was that?
I don't even know who that guy was, but that was a great line.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I would say hotter. I think Gentry, if he doesn't really wow them in camp, and kind of what Greg said, I don't think if they knew that they were going to get Washington, he wouldn't have got signed anyway if they would have done it prior to the draft.
They wouldn't have signed him at all if they knew they were... Okay. All right, well, the... So you're saying higher than 80?
Yes, higher. Final
answer. Oh, no, that's... That was supposed to be the correct sound. I got the wrong buzzer.
You're working it out. You're working it out.
80 was close. 85 degrees is actually Zach's hot seat, which, you know, he's a tough enough guy that you could sit through an 85-degree hot seat all season.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
You know.
I've watched that grilling show, yes. And this is also exactly how I lost on The Price is Right. I just missed by a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. August, the board moves to you.
Hey.
What is the hot seat temperature of Deontay Johnson?
Well, if you guys remember the last time I was on this show, I'm not the biggest Deontay fan. So I would say the hot seat on him, we didn't draft a receiver. Oh, my. I would like to say hi, but I think I'll go a 70, 75 degree day.
Oh, my God. He is so hot.
That's pretty hot. 75. Actually, 75 is pretty comfortable. You know, if you're in a cold place, it feels hot. But if you're in a hot place, it feels cool.
Yeah. And if the wind picks up.
Yeah. 70, 75. I'd say.
All right. Judges, is Deontay Johnson's hot seat 75 degrees?
No. I was going to agree with him, but I guess I don't get you now since I... I can't agree with him since I have to do this.
You got to steal.
I guess, I mean, the only thing I can think is even lower. I mean, they like Deontay. I guess the thing is, when you're defining the hot seat, like, how hot is it in terms of, like, are you saying if someone's very hot, does that mean they're getting rid of them before the season or they're getting rid of them after the season?
How hot can you go? You know, if you've got a 212 hot seat, you can't sit on that. You got
to
go,
okay,
you know?
So you have to leave immediately. Okay. I think Deontay's at least playing out this contract if they're not re-signing again. They like the guy. They've always liked the guy. And I think that, you know, they're going to keep feeding receivers as best they can. But as August put it very well, they didn't bring in another one. Allen Robinson's not here to be the long-term solution. I think they do like Johnson. So I guess by virtue of the buzzer sound I heard, I will have to go lower just on principle.
Is Deontay Johnson lower than 75?
I'll go 45. You should have brought a stocking cap.
Oh, you're right. The correct answer is 40, chilling cold.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna stay on this roster. You know, Kenny could get the bench before DJ. Mm-hmm. According to our...
He can't score any less touchdowns. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. And again, this is also how I lost on The Price is Right, because I was just above some of the other things, too.
All right, Greg, the board moves to you. How hot is the hot seat of Chris Boswell?
I would have had it as like lower than 40 up until I saw that one just like random stray Bob Labriola bullet on Twitter a month or so ago about like that they were looking at real competition for him because they were worried about the injuries or something like that. And I know they said that they'd like to keep somebody said they'd like to keep the camp leg because I guess the dude got like a lot of kickoffs in college. But I still, they've had so many kicking issues until Boswell arrived between Swisham playing that second half at a Hall of Fame game. I was going to say rest his soul, but the guy's alive. He's just in Mexico. But yeah, and then Boswell, I think they're going to stay till the wheels fall off here, perhaps literally. I'm going to have to go. I'll go 35, just above freezing. The seat is not very hot here, in my opinion.
Ice cold!
Ooh, that's ice cold! Mm-hmm. Okay, is it... Judges, is Chris Boswell on a 35-degree hot seat? Now, would that cause frostbite? You can sit on that long-term and without any damage,
you're
right?
You're talking to a Pittsburgh audience. Those people have been at 35 a lot, man. They're not getting frostbite.
Is Boswell's hot seat 35? No, it's not! Oh! August, is it higher or lower than 35?
Well, I would have said really low. I didn't even see that tweet that Bob tweet you mm-hmm. referenced. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to say lower. I'm going to say it's a 20 degree day for Boswell. I would be surprised if they got rid of him. Like Greg said, I mean, we had so many problems before he showed up. I think we'd be crazy to get rid of him as Greg quite literally put it, the wheels fall off.
Right.
So cold that it might damage him. You might want to turn up the heat on the seat a little.
Yeah, just so it doesn't polar vortex. Yeah.
Put some heating packs in those cleats.
Well, how much contract is left?
I don't even know. I mean, that's how little I care. I don't even know. Just
and
I feel like hard to
kicker
find a kicker.
Contracts are the least guaranteed contracts out there. So.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Even in the face of some of these new kicking rules that are, you know, might make his job less important.
They didn't change it for the field goals. Those rules didn't change a whole lot.
Yeah, I think punts are gonna hurt the most.
Okay, well, let's judges. Is it lower than 35?
Oh no! Oh,
it's actually a very moderate 55 degree hot seat. It's like someone could turn up the heat on him at camp, but. Otherwise, you know, it's cool as the other side of the pillow.
I mean, I would almost think the only reason it would be 55, and again, I'm glad we're using a scientific thing to measure this, is that there does seem to be an unfortunate kind of history of injuries here now after a little bit with Boswell. That's I think.
Yeah, when he plays,
fear.
He's good, but when we have someone else out there, it gets shaky.
Yeah, and it's that the injuries now, it's a few years it is. He's not getting younger. Yeah, not to bring this very much
was,
down.
Well,
yeah.
wasn't this, besides the slump season, wasn't last season kind of the second?
That's sort of, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay, all right. August, the board moves to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How hot is the hot seat of Kenny Pickett?
Kenny, you might as well be living in the Arctic because that thing is ice cold, my man. You're not going anywhere. I love you. I'm going to say 2 degrees, and that's if Mitch turns into Joe Montana during training camp because he's not losing that seat unless he gets a serious injury, which we all hope does not happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even going to jump in front of your little thing. I could only go lower. There's no answer. That's I agree with that. I don't even need to see your buzzers and your noises.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess. I mean, the only way unless you're defining hot seat is in like he's not the starter. But even then, they're gonna. Tomlin did this last year. I mean, it's he could have brought in Mitch at multiple times and he didn't. So there is no Arctic pole cold enough.
You know how? But how many turnovers would it take for there to be for you to take out the cold seat and put in the hot seat? You can say in May there's no hot seat, but what about September after maybe a few turnovers?
He would have to turn into Zach Wilson of last year, I think. He'd have to turn into the reason that we're losing.
Yeah, and I agree with what August said, and even piggyback on top of that, I feel it would have to be Zach Wilson on the field and off. Like, you'd also have to be like something would have to go awry.
Lose the locker room a little bit.
Yeah, in Kenny's makeup, which, again, we haven't seen. And I can say we haven't seen because now Kenny's on every podcast but this one. So we know his personality pretty well.
Next
at this
guest
point
spoiler.
Too. Oh, man. Kenny's going to have to play this game next. We have to explain the buzzers to him. But, yeah, it would have to be, like, it's a lot of, I know I made the cracker in the first half about, like, getting struck by a meteor, but it would have to be, like, a meteor strike level things to go wrong for Kenny to for him to take him out due to injury. Because why wouldn't you pull him after, in the Buffalo game or the Eagles game or the even the Dolphins game after stuff like that? I mean, it would take a lot, and there'd have to be something we were not privy to for it to occur.
Isn't that the only thing that can put you in Tomlin's doghouse? Really, is not controlling the ball, turning the ball over.
Certainly, but I mean, again, he did it the first half of the season. He started last year, and he still kept playing. Like, I mean, and thankfully, he turned it around at that bye. But you know,
and if you want to talk about turnovers, Mitch coming in that Baltimore game. I don't know if we're going to get less turnovers if we go to the bench. That's
a good point. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Mitch throwing the ball three times to one of two guys on the Baltimore defense.
Roquan Smith's favorite player is Mitch.
You mean Mitch, the guy who beat Tom Brady and the Bengals in the same year?
And the Panthers, right? I was going to say
the Panthers.
But yeah, I think that's real. But what have you done for me lately? Kind of thing. And the latest thing I think was Roquan picking off another one of those passes.
All right. So
ice cold.
I think the verdict was ice cold on Kenny.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What number do you have, Kyle?
Yeah. What did the judges say?
Yeah.
The judges had a very temperate 55 degrees.
Judges have been consuming that national media.
The judges just it's a hypothetical future where there's turnovers and and okay, it's not that the judges don't get to play. There's no money for the judges.
I'm just curious. I was just curious.
Sure. Oh yeah, no, I'm glad August asked.
Greg, the board goes to you. Mm-hmm. What is the hot seat of Matt Canada?
What'd you say? 212 is scalding. It's like, I don't know. I almost wish, like, what's? I'm trying to figure out, like, I was never any good at math. Like, what's the hot seat equivalent of, like, the NFL injuries thing for probable? Like, if this team does start bad, we mentioned all these players that, like, they're on the hot seat and all that. But, like, Canada goes first before them, before it gets to Kenny, before it gets to Deontay, before it gets to all these other people. Canada's that first line of hotness. So,
if the thing's on fire, he's
right. That's he's the outer, the shell of your spaceship. I guess I'll say 180, but you have to pick a number. No, but a number that's high enough that it can go down. I mean, as this team wins, as this offense progresses, whether or not they win, I mean, that would certainly help. But as the offense improves, that number can go down precipitously.
So 120, you said?
I think I said like 180.
But 180?
But I can go anywhere in that stretch. Anything over like 120 to 150 to 180, that's,
I 120 is like...
I'm being like the weatherman with like the ranges.
120 feels like a hot soup that you still might be able to stomach.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wait a minute. Like
But 180, 180 is like,
we're going Fahrenheit, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Because otherwise, that's like melt steel then. But yeah. So we'll go a soup you can stomach. I will say that. We'll go a soup you can stomach.
A soup you can stomach is actually, I think, the correct answer.
Put down the buttons.
I might have been playing the judges and not the ball on that. That might have been.
We would have accepted 212 minus Kenny Pickett.
I didn't know you could put equations into the machine.
There's an algebra here. It's like sure, it's hot, but whatever Kenny I think it's dependent on Kenny. It's one of those equations where X equals, Y plus whatever Kenny, what Kenny, if Kenny throws,
I think that's a good point.
If he only throws 19 touchdowns and 2,900 yards, right. Then you're going to be like Matt Canada. What the heck? Mm-hmm. If he throws 3,000 yards and 24 touchdowns, all of a sudden it's like Matt Canada, boy wonder.
Yeah, but even then, though, I wonder, I mean, not to belabor this point, but to go back to that 19 and 9 and 2,900 thing, if he does that and the team's still winning, I can see Tomlin looking at this enough and be like, yeah, I'm not messing with this.
And we know the relationship that Kenny and Canada have. Mm-hmm. Well, August, where's your thermostat coming in on Mad Canada?
I'm glad Greg got it right, because I would have said go to the middle of Mount Vesuvius, and that's where I throw that guy. I couldn't be more sick of watching that offense, and especially after last year, getting to watch like the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl, and you get to watch those offenses, and I'm just jealous the whole time, because I'm like, wow, could you imagine us having a coordinator that runs it like that, almost like Todd Haley did? Not to throw any shade, but I will. That was the one Todd Haley fan, I think, in Pittsburgh. But yeah, Matt Canada, and I think what Kyle said, like, even if he does put up Kenny puts up those numbers, you would need Najee to rush for like 2,000 yards.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, we said that before. Yeah. Okay. That exact thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, because that's kind of where my mind kind of went with it. Is what Greg said, we have to win. That's the most important thing, because winning solves everything. But could you guys? This is a little just Please. Question on my own head. Has Tomlin ever fired a coordinator midseason?
No, I don't think they've fired one since I started following midseason. Since I started following the team in '91, Sherman got fired. Was that maybe that was midseason? Was that right after a game? When did Cowher fire Ray Sherman?
Was that '98? Was that he didn't fit? It wasn't with one game left
right.
in the season.
Yeah, it was one game left this season. They were out and Cowher took over. Okay,
and
that's
had
why
the worst,
I couldn't
like 10 worst years game of his life.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so, like I was thinking, I was like, I don't remember a coordinator ever. Like no matter how bad they were.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, now maybe they had some responsibilities taken and we didn't know about it. True. And it shows up in someone's book a decade later. But that's
true.
The close. But even then, that's who knows.
I read the BA book. And, you know, while he technically wasn't fired, his contract had run out. He says that, you know, Tomlin said, don't worry, I'm going to get you a raise on the next contract. And then the next call was, hey, I couldn't get you that raise. And in fact, I couldn't get you that contract. And so BA feels betrayed. And so does BA's wife. They feel betrayed by Tomlin. That's like the only time I've heard anyone go on record saying anything negative in Tomlin in that kind of light.
I remember it being blamed on Rooney at the time, that Rooney was the one that fired him. And that obviously backs it up. But also, Tomlin's not his agent, like in there making this case.
I just miss when we had a stretch of OCs that were all like Wisenhunt, BA, like all like head coach material. You know,
certainly.
No one's even thinking about hiring Matt Canada to be a coordinator, let alone a head coach of their team.
That day is past. Yes, it would have to be one of those dramatic changes, and even then, that's.
Well, we haven't seen what he got yet. You know, he's had a Mason Rudolph type of run so far. You know, his rookie year in the game, quarterback coach for Ben, who doesn't take quarterback coaches. His first year as coordinator is Ben's last year. Again, Ben wants to run it his way, doesn't want to run. You know, look, I listened to the BA book again. Ben wants a gun. Ben wants to, you know, no risk it, no biscuit is BA saying.
Yes.
And so Canada had all these things stacked against him. Then he had a rookie with Kenny Pickett. So now.
And the offensive line, absolutely. Yeah, getting old at the exact same time. There are many reasons. But doesn't this get back to the thing the guy said at the beginning of this episode about the past performance proves the future in football more than I know?
Okay.
No, I mean, it's not. But that's just it, though. But the guy can also. But things also change. I mean, it's not impossible that Canada figures this out. It's not impossible that it improves, because it is a collaborative effort. And there's a lot of smart guys in there. So, I mean, it's.
And when,
you know.
When Greg was given his original answer, he said the first guy on the line is going to be Canada. And as soon as he said line, I was like, it's funny you say line, because I think that first pick was strictly for Canada. Like, okay, we're going to get you a stalwart left tackle. We bought in a bunch of free agent guards. There's no more excuse of the line. Now we get to, hopefully actually see what his offense is about now that we can get a quarterback on their feet and a running back's not getting hit in the backfield.
I'll flip it slightly. Instead of like no more excuses, it's we've given you everything you've wanted. You know, it's not like we've given this in spite of your failures. Instead, it's we've given this, we're investing this in you because we support
He was your, a big Kenny guy. Yeah. Got your quarterback, you get your tackle. Let's see what you got.
You know?
This is a product of your journey, and your journey's not over
the
yet.
The journey's not over yet, Matt Canada. Okay. Oh shoot, I think the band's trying to The band. All right, we've got some odds and ends. That was, all right, good game, everyone. I think
we left Greg it all
me.
Out there.
Greg got me. He got me by one.
No, hey, he was pushing me. It was. We're still at OTAs. We're
I'm
still
stepping in the ring
out.
With a vet over
oh,
here.
Oh yeah. No. Hey, no, you held it up. Your effort, please. You're gonna displace me by week three.
Hey, the hot seats change throughout the summer as this you know.
The temperatures.
I'm on the hot seat now. Right now, it could switch to Greg anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll revisit.
What have you done for me lately?
We'll revisit in the future because you know, temperatures change, seasons change, like the great artist said. Who sang that song? I think that was that Hart? No.
I mean, you would know better.
Seasons change. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get to some odds and ends here, starting with at Teresa Varley. John Mitchell, who retired from the Steelers after 29 years, is the winner of the PFWA Writers Paul Dr. Z Zimmerman Award. Lifetime achievement as an NFL assistant coach. I didn't know that they had a lifetime achievement for assistant coaches, but if anyone is deserving, it's John Mitchell. Hall of Honor this year? Is it time for Mitchell and LeBeau?
At some point, it should be for John Mitchell. I want to say, was Dr. Z the guy that used to have the column at the end of Sports Illustrated?
Yes.
Okay. I remember reading that. That guy, I remember liking that in many a waiting room. That I'm glad they named an award after him.
Yeah, wow, what a throwback right there, Greg.
You took me a second. Yeah, I'm like, why do I know this name?
Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
Mitchell in the Hall, yeah, LeBeau this year. I mean, why not?
LeBeau has to vote on it. I mean, I have no. I don't. Or don't they reveal it in training camp? I don't remember when this comes out.
There's a vote on the players, but you know, I think you got to honor these guys while they're still around. I mean, you know, Mitch would love that.
Mitch is
only 71, but LeBeau is over 80. You know,
yes, and also,
I was just gonna ask you how old Dick is now, because I remember when we won the Super Bowl in 2008, mm-hmm. I was at the parade and we walked by a random empty just charter bus. And I'm like, I think that's Dick LeBeau sitting in there. He's just by himself. And so we're like, we're kids. We go up and knock on the thing. He comes in. He's like, we're like, Dick LeBeau? He's like, yeah. He was like, can we get a picture? He's like, sure, of course.
Oh!
And he like loved it. He's like, oh, like, you know, I love chopping up with fans like this. I'm just getting too old. Like, I'm too old with all the excitement. I'm going to hang out on the bus. So like, I have a picture. And that's, you know, that was already how long ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was how
that's
long ago.
Awesome,
yeah,
August.
It's a core kid memory is getting to meet him. And he was the nicest guy ever. But I even remember thinking then, like, wow, he's getting up there. So we should definitely honor him, give him his flowers while he's still kicking.
Yeah, plus they need to be, the stories need to be told. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to wait until, like, Franco or something, you know, where it's learning those stories after the fact, you know, like, mm-hmm. Shoot, I want to celebrate. Because Mitch has some story, you know, I'd love to get him on the pivot or on or on this podcast. We'll play
How High. 29 years, that's.
There you go.
How about at Real John Walker, OHN Walker IV. Lots of fringe roster guys make their living on special teams. Their kick coverage can determine whether they work a 9-to-5 or live out their dream. Sad thing that part of the game is now being phased out. Kickoffs can now be fair caught behind the 25.
And then you'll get it at the 25.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So, you know, they say it's for player safety. Is it eliminating, you know, I feel bad for, you know, roster guys 49 and 50, 51 guys like Marcus Allen or Benny Snell football, you know, are these guys going to lose their jobs because of some rule change like this?
I think both are true. I mean, these guys are going to lose their jobs, and they did do it to make this game safer. I mean, I don't think this is an either or kind of thing.
I haven't seen any stats or info about special team kickoffs causing a bigger amount of injuries or anything.
Well, I mean, didn't the XFL do something goofy or different that something not dissimilar to this? Or I made it through like a half before I took a nap, but they've been trying to get rid of kickoffs forever. I mean, it's at least in the last decade.
I think a lot of the injuries are on the frontline blocks that you don't even get to see on camera. You know what I mean? By the time the ball's already kicked by them, I think that's where a lot of the injuries are coming, not to the actual like returners or people who are tackling the returners.
Makes a lot of sense.
The part that makes me sad about it is you think about all the players that are, you know, Hall of Famers now that they talk about, they made the team on special teams and then got to play their position, like Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharp. And, you know, you get all these players throughout the years that they wouldn't have made the roster and got to even get the field time if they didn't make the team for the 53. So you wonder if they're just going to dummy people out there now and just shorten up, you know, skill players. Because, I mean, if you have a wide receiver on the end just to put him out there, like, I'd like to see the percentage of kicks that actually get returned this year.
No, yeah, it's got to just crater. I mean, you would assume.
And, you know, a game can change in one moment on a special teams play. So, mm-hmm. you know, you take away that. But I guess the...
Devin Hester. You never get a player like that
exactly.
even.
Exactly.
Like,
The flip side might be at Sub Burger, Beaver Falls Hosiery. Instead of kicking a high floater, a squib kick deep to attempt it down at behind the 25. So could this change just the strategy of the kicking game? Could you just see now, like, you know,
interesting
more variance on that? You know, it's like we can squib it and get it down to the 25, or, you know, maybe it takes a weird bounce and, you know, it could be a bigger risk there.
I mean, sure, you'd love to get that kickoff back. I could see people trying this, but it's hard not to believe that with this change coming here in, what is this, May, that most people are just going to try and kick it through the end zone again and then deal with it at the 25. But yeah, if you can get some kind of, like you said, change a game in one moment kind of squib thing, sure.
Maybe preseason we'll see people try stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind, you know, elevating the kicker. You know, it's like you don't see enough. You see the onside, you know, once maybe every four or five games. I'd like to see more kicker strategy.
While we're talking about jobs, I mean, we mentioned earlier during the game, and then the Steelers have this one college guy in that might do kickoffs for, you know, Boswell. Well, maybe that opens up a roster spot for a guy like that who can maybe squib it consistently or kick it into the river. I mean, that's maybe this guy gets a job when otherwise he might not. I mean, I have no idea what's happening here in May, but I mean, this is literally just conjecture, but...
Well, we might have more roster spots because at @A_Saunders_PGH, Alan Saunders, I feel like I'm alone on this, but I don't care for this move. If teams wanted a third quarterback, they could dress a third quarterback. Now, essentially, 49 out of 53 being able to play on game days. They've changed the rules so that, you know, mm-hmm. You can get a third quarterback without it counting against the active roster. Is that
yeah. yeah. Oh, I watched a couple minutes of that NFC Championship game. This guy's alone in that. That was ridiculous.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to be like, this has to be a direct correlation to that NFC Championship game.
Well, why not just prioritize a third quarterback in your rosters then? And especially if we're going to fair catch all these kickoffs now, why do we have to give an extra roster spot?
No, yeah. I don't mind someone getting an extra job. That's not like the salary cap. It's not coming out of my money.
Mace has to suit up now.
Yes, so that's exactly what that means too.
We got to get the viscous helmet for.
There you go. Or vicious. We don't know how. I like your idea better, but
it's going to mess up his hair. Mm-mm. Okay. Fine. Let's just go to the final thing here. At Blitzburg. Pool 1, TJ Watt 0.
I didn't even watch it. I stayed away.
Sure, accidents will happen, but am I the only one to, and I know the answer is yes, am I the only one to just see the double standard with Juju was, oh, the milk crate challenge, Juju is the worst teammate, yada yada, Juju. And then this is like so funny. Oh, TJ stumbled into his pool and could have cracked his head. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that am I the double standard or
no? I mean, it's. I think you're right. I think you know, Poole is having worked with him a little bit in my day job. Dangerous in and of its own right. I mean, the odds of you slipping and falling into a pool are higher than I've never jumped on a milk crate, and I don't plan on it. But yeah, I could see. I think you're justified in this one.
I mean, I'm the guy who said, "Hey, not too much pickleball, TJ." You know, we don't want to like hurt a knee doing that. I'm just like, hey, sit down and watch Netflix and chill, whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. Get the elliptical with Mike Tomlin.
You have the rest of your life to jump in a pool.
I'm not, I don't care. I'm not saying that about TJ. All I can say is the Juju haters.
Yeah, I think the video is a little more innocent when you watch it. When I heard it, I was like, oh, it's going to be this big, like, it was a mindless little fall. And like you said, there's, you know, videos of Juju's doing double backflips, catching footballs into pools. Like, I think TJ will be all right.
Although, you know, can you hear what he's trying to say here? Like,
oh, I stopped.
Oh, man. Sounds like a lot of laughter more than anything else.
Is that a TJ TikTok or is that a TJ porn spoof? I don't know, but okay, enough caucus.
That's what we've been talking about.
Another fine show. If you made it this far, if you didn't get tuned out by the game show, then I guess you might want to follow us on social media. Mm-hmm. Greg, where can we find you?
At Greg Benevent, B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T, Instagram. They still look at Twitter, but I try not to post there.
Twitter sucks. I'm losing followers all the time, and Blue Sky will not accept me yet. I feel like the grasshopper begging for food at the ants. Is that how the grasshopper and the ants?
Sure.
Okay.
It's been a minute since I read
August, that. Where can we find you on the social media?
Easy, at AuggieD32, AuggieD32 on Instagram. And I have a podcast as well if you want to tune in. We talk comedy. That's how I know these guys, comedians. I'm sure you guys all know listening. At Sense of Humor TV on YouTube and Spotify.
You want any of these games out here, Vegas or LA?
I am going to go to both, yes.
Okay.
And I plan on trying to hit one back in Pittsburgh, but I went to the Franco game last year, and I think I paid my dues with the weather. So I might just stay out here on the West Coast and enjoy the nice weather, and hopefully we can get two wins both those games.
I got my room for Vegas, so I just don't have a ticket. I don't know if how that's going to work, but...
Yeah, it's going to be tough, too, because I guess it's their home opener. It's Monday night. It's Vegas. So I'm definitely going to be at the Ramsey one, hoping to be at the Vegas one for sure.
All right, if anyone has a lead on a ticket, hit me up. Someone already gave me a lead on the streams on a streaming site, because I'm like, I can't pay for the YouTube TV. So luckily someone hit me in the DMs with the site, so hey, if anyone got the lead on the Vegas tickets, hit me up there. Okay, until next week, keep listening to your coach.
Be the best selves. That's gonna be required.
Stay in school.